Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Thursday, which means it's the start of Major League Baseball. Are you excited for today? Have you been anticipating today?
I'm excited. I like baseball. For my team, though, being a Cincinnati Reds fan, we don't have much to be excited for. We'll probably win 64 to 70 games.
Listen, you got a guy in Cincinnati that has a chance to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, should have been MVP last year. I thought his season last year was better than Giancarlo Stanton, but unfortunately for the Reds, he didn't get it. But yeah, Joey Votto is rotting away in Cincinnati and putting up all-time numbers.
I probably would have went with Goldschmidt last year, but you make the case for Votto. I'm with you. I would have probably taken Goldschmidt and Votto over Stanton last season. That's a completely different topic. You got a guy that could win the Triple Crown, so at least you have something to follow. Today we had some interesting games. First at bat of the contest between the Cubbies and the Marlins, and Ian Happ went deep as the Cubs pick up an 8-4 win over the Marlins in a game that was somewhat sloppy. I mean, John Lester gives up four earned runs. It was 4-0 Chicago. Miami battles back. They make it 4-4. The Marlins are not a good baseball team.
They're not. Kyle Schwarber out there making errors in the left field. He's going to have to work on that a little bit with the adjustment. But yeah, the Marlins are a 40-50 win team probably.
I figured out over the last 2 years you're not a Kyle Schwarber fan.
No, I think he's overhyped and overrated. I don't think he's good.
He's not bad.
His career wins above replacement is 1.2.
You're not a Cub guy.
No, I'm not a Cub guy. Yeah. Schwarber struck out 150 times last year and batted .211.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And one of the other games that took place earlier today, the Mets get a victory over the Cardinals. This one was a little bit more interesting. The final score was 9-4, so you say, how could it be so interesting? Through three innings, Syndergaard had 10 strikeouts, and the game was tied 3-3.
Yeah, the Mets are going to rely heavy on Syndergaard. So
and DeGrom.
As those two go, so will the Mets. And if they play well, the Mets have a chance to sneak into the playoffs.
A lot of question marks for me with that Mets rotation. But with Syndergaard and DeGrom, I mean, if they stay healthy, I mean, that's one of the best 1-2 combos definitely in the National League. It's one of the best 1-2 combos. It's right up there with Strasburg and Scherzer, as far as I'm concerned.
And if you get any production out of Matt Harvey whatsoever, I mean,
anything.
Yeah, I mean, anything at all, that just makes you even more lethal.
Now, we have plenty of other games today. 28 teams play today, right? 28 teams.
Everybody but Cincinnati and Washington rained out.
They knew this. This is why it was postponed yesterday.
Yes.
They knew this was going to happen.
The bad weather was coming.
So let's take a look at the scoreboard right now. If we go to the ninth inning, the Twins and the Orioles are tied 2-2. We get the Astros and the Rangers right now into the seventh inning. The Astros have a 3-0 lead over the Rangers. You're defending World Series champs. Altuve, he's 0-2 with an RBI and a strikeout. I don't know what it is about George freaking Springer. This guy's unbelievable, isn't he?
He's a good baseball player. And
he's not bad.
Yeah, World Series MVP last year, and he's starting off with a bang this year.
For the second consecutive year, he starts off with a leadoff home run. His first at-bat was a home run. I mean, that's two straight years now that's happened for Springer. Yeah, that guy can swing the bat. He's pretty good at it. Right now, we have the Yankees and the Blue Jays going toe-to-toe. This one is in the sixth inning. 4-0 Yanks with the lead over Toronto. And Giancarlo Stanton, welcome to the pinstripes, buddy.
Yeah, first at bat with the Yankees, he goes home run.
He's got 3 RBIs so far in this game. It is a little bit sad not to see Jose Bautista with the Blue Jays.
It's weird, huh?
It is strange, isn't it?
It is weird.
He's not playing right now.
Free agent, yeah, when you turn on the Blue Jays, you're accustomed to seeing Jose Bautista, and it just has an odd, weird feeling to it.
We talk about the bat flip right? I mean, we've talked about Jose Bautista bat flips for like 4 years on the show. He's not playing.
Not playing. And I put Toronto as one of those teams behind Minnesota in the Angels battling for maybe that second wild card spot.
Yeah. I got to say no to that because I like the Red Sox to win the AL East. And on top of that, I think the Yankees probably get in as well. You have them second in the AL East?
I'm going to put them third behind. No, I'm going to put them second because I don't have the Red Sox in the playoffs. I think Toronto can compete for a playoff spot with Boston. But eventually, or when it comes down to it, I have Minnesota and the Angels in.
Severino so far for the Yankees today. 5 innings, no earned runs, 1 hit, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. Pretty solid right there. We go into the 8th inning. The Red Sox hold a 4-0 lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. Mookie Betts is yet to get on base. 0-for-3. That doesn't happen too often.
Not very often do you see an 0-for-3 from Mookie Betts, but Boston, they went out, spent a lot of money in the offseason, so it's time to put up.
Angels right now in the 6th inning lead. The A's 5-4. The Phillies all over the Braves as we go to the bottom of the 6th inning of that contest. Philly 5, Atlanta nothing. That one shocks me a little bit. Got to be honest with you. I expected more out of the Braves offensively. Look, Acuña is the man. Albies is the man in Atlanta as well. They have a couple of young prospects. I think this team's going to get a lot better. Albies so far in this game is 0-for-2 with a strikeout.
Yeah, those two young guys are the core of Atlanta, so surprised that they didn't come out with a better start. But Atlanta's one of those teams that they're kind of in a rebuild mode as well.
The Brewers right now lead the Padres 1-0 in what I think is the most interesting series of opening weekend. And I say that because I love what the Brewers did in the offseason. I love what they have in the outfield. The Padres are a year away, but I think the Padres are going to really surprise a lot of people. I love their outfield. I love Manuel Margot as well. 1-0, Brewers up on the Padres right now in the 7th inning of that contest. The White Sox lead the Royals 8-4. And then we had a couple of finals earlier today that we talked about. Still to come tonight. We get the Dodgers and the Giants at 5. Clayton Kershaw does take the hill. I'm a little bummed that Matty Bumgarner's not going up against Clayton Kershaw. I like that matchup when those two go toe-to-toe because you have two excellent hitting pitchers in the National League. To me, that's entertaining. No Bumgarner tonight for the Giants. Kershaw will man the hill for the Dodgers. We also get Cleveland at Seattle. We'll get Colorado at Arizona. 2 postponed games, Pittsburgh at Detroit, and then Washington and Cincinnati. We're going to break for just a moment. But, well, you know what? Before we do that, let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA because, Travis, last night the Utah Jazz, they suffered a pretty important loss. They needed to win this game against Boston last night, had an opportunity and couldn't do it.
For the remaining fourth quarter with the 2:36 mark, they didn't score in 2 minutes 36 seconds. Boston went on that 9-0 run. Last possession defensively was pitiful by the Jazz and gave up the 3 by Jaylen Brown. Donovan Mitchell down the stretch didn't play well. Turnover and a couple missed shots.
Short slate of games tonight in the West. We get Washington at Detroit, meaningless for the Jazz. Chicago at Miami, that game has a little meaning for the Heat. We get the Thunder and the Spurs. Watch that game at 6 p.m. It's on TNT tonight. Indiana at Sacramento. And then in the nightcap, it's Milwaukee and Golden State. We'll break for just a moment. I'll give you a peep of what's coming up on the show today. We're going to be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatis of the Carbondale baseball team in just a moment. And also Coach Sean Bell of the Emory Lady Spartans softball squad. That's what's coming up when we return here on Drive Time Sports, plus some more Major League Baseball talk. We're back in just a moment. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And yesterday, the Carbon Dinos and the Emory Spartans shared the baseball diamond for the only time this season at the varsity level, and it turned out to be a rout. The Carbon Dinos eased their way to a 16-0 victory. Now, in this game, Carbon scored 8 runs in the first frame. They added another in the second and scored 7 more in the fourth before shutting down Emory in the top half of the fifth, ultimately ending the game with the mercy rule. Carbon had a hit parade in this contest, 13 to be exact, as 4 individuals finished with at least 2 hits. The leading man offensively was Anthony Jones, who had 3 RBIs just a day after he walked in the game-winning run against Salem Hills. Carbon used 2 pitchers in this contest. Cody Lowe got the start. He faced 7 batters and gave up no hits and ended up striking out 3 individuals. Triton Abeda finished off the contest. He faced 11 total batters in this game and again gave up but just 1 hit, but did strike out 1 batter as well. The win for Carbon closes out the week. They'll now enjoy spring break before returning to the baseball diamond next week. For Emory, they'll take tonight off But then they'll return tomorrow to wrap up the season series with the San Juan Broncos. Emory won the first game of the two-game set earlier this week on Tuesday by a final score of 10-6. As it sits right now, Emory is sitting 2-3 in region play. We step away from high school baseball and move over to high school soccer, where today the Emory Spartans will return to the field with a non-region contest against the Union Cougars. Now, as it sits right now, Emory has had kind of mixed results throughout the region season. In the Region 15 classification, they sit at 2-1-1, which puts them at the top of the region standings, just a tie above the Grand Red Devils point-wise. That counts as 1 point. Union, on the flip side, is 1-4-1, and they are sitting towards the bottom of Region 14. Following today's contest, Emory will take the remainder of the week off and return to the field next week as they continue region action. Outside of that, it'll be a dead day for high school sports, but we are gearing up for what'll be a somewhat busy weekend for the junior college athletic scene. Now, the USU Eastern Lady softball squad will return to the field. They'll go toe-to-toe this weekend in conference action against Snow College. Now, this four-game set will take place on the road, and it'll actually begin tomorrow at 1 p.m. The second game of the doubleheader will begin at 3 p.m. The two teams will be back at it on Saturday at 12-2. Now, the men's baseball team will have a break in region action. This signifies their lone bye of the league season, but they will still play some action. They'll take on the Utah State University Club. This will be in Price. This will take place tomorrow at 1 p.m. and 3:30 p.m., and then on Saturday they'll return to the field at 12 and 2:30, once again taking on Utah State University's club squad. Today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll continue to talk local athletics. You'll hear from both Coach Sean Bell and also Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. We'll talk Emory softball, and we'll talk Carbon baseball. And we end by moving over to the national sports side. And last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the Utah Jazz suffered a 97-94 loss to the Boston Celtics. And as we get down to the seven final games of the regular season, last night's loss could in fact be costly for the Jazz. Utah, as it sits right now, is the eighth seed in the Western Conference. They lead the Clippers by one full game. Now, fortunately for the Jazz, they'll return to the court tomorrow to take on the struggling Memphis Grizzlies, who have the second-worst record in the Western Conference at 21-54. Live coverage of that game will begin at 6:50. David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call beginning at 7. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports. Travis, yesterday there was a high school baseball game. Carbon and Emory. Carbon took it to Emory, 16-0. And the Dinos are playing great baseball. At the same time, Emory's kind of been up and down. Anytime those two teams share the field, it's fun. It's fun to watch. We got to watch a couple of innings of it yesterday. It's a fun game.
It is, and Carbon's clicking at the right time. And like you said, Emory, they're kind of up and down. They're trying to find themselves right now at the moment. So still a lot of time left in the season for Emory, but Carbon right now playing great baseball.
Well, we're going to stick with Carbon for this particular segment. And we're going to bring in Coach Jeff Cincinnatus, who is joining us right now in the studio. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, good to get back in, Jordan. Thanks.
Busy week for you guys. You have games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You guys finish 2-1 on what's a short/long week. I say a short week because no region games at all. And now you guys will have today and tomorrow off. But nonetheless, you played some great competition this week and you guys come out with two wins.
Yeah, we had a good schedule this week. If you look at our teams we played, we go up, play a 5A Provo, come home, play 4A Salem Hills, and then finish up yesterday with Emory, who obviously has moved up to 3A this year. So it's our spring break week. The kids got out of school on Wednesday, and they're out until Monday. So it was a week where it was going to be pretty hard to schedule region games. So I did my best to get us three games at the beginning of the week against good competition. And, you know, I think minus the game on Monday, which I wasn't real happy with our effort, I think we got better for the week, and I think it'll help us out in the future.
Scores improved, definitely. A shutout loss to Provo, a one-run win over Salem Hills in extra innings on Tuesday, and then a blowout win over Emory yesterday, 16-0. biggest difference, at least from what you saw, I mean, away from the competition, Coach, because I know Provo, we're talking about a 5A school, 4A school in Salem Hills, 3A school in Emory. At the end of the day, when you look at the team's performance, what improved over those three games?
Well, for the biggest part, it was just our effort improved. I mean, when we went to Provo on Monday, I said this on the radio after the game, I thought it was one of the worst performances that we've had since I've taken over as a head coach, you know, 4 years ago. But obviously this year it was, because we just didn't play with any effort, just not focused in and not doing anything that we've been coached to do. And, you know, Provo's a good team in 5A. They'll probably finish middle of their region, I think. But a team that I definitely feel like, you know, if we turn around and play again and we play the way we're supposed to, that we can beat. And then you come back and play Salem Hills the next day. You know, I got on the guys pretty hard Monday about our effort and doing things the right way, and I thought we came out and played a really good Salem Hills team who's ranked, you know, 3 or 4 in 4A right now, and beat them in extra innings and played really well, and that got us ready to play Emory, you know, obviously who's a 3A school. And you know, but our effort improved every day, and we just did the things we're supposed to do. I mean, we just Monday we didn't do anything, and we just got better at playing the game of baseball the right way the next 2 days. So obviously our effort and the way we executed was better.
Salem Hills is ranked. Is that the best one of the year so far for this team?
Yeah, anytime you can beat a higher classification school, it's great. And then if you beat one that's ranked and having a good season, you know, and you're probably never going to see their number one or number two pitcher when you do that. But the bottom line is those kids didn't come down and, you know, Zach Bradley shut him out for 6 innings. I mean, you know, just did an excellent job. And Zach can do that with any team in any classification if you give him the chance. You know, our ability to score runs is what's hurt Zach when he's pitched. He's pitched some great games for us, and we just haven't scored runs for him in those games. You know, and he pitches a great 6 innings in that game, but still gets a no decision because we end up going extra innings and winning in the 8th inning. So Jaden Robertson got the win. But you know, Jaden came in, hadn't pitched since our opening day with Springville, where he struggled, and he hadn't pitched again since then. And with Jaden right now, it's more of a mental, you know, a mental thing with him. He's got the physical tools, but, you know, mentally he just doesn't seem ready to throw. And I wanted to get him a chance, and you know, that was a big opportunity for him coming in a game of that caliber. And I thought maybe letting him throw at home would help out, and he came in and really did a great job. And if he can do that for us the rest of the year, be a 1 or 2 inning guy that comes in and closes the door like he did, you know, we're just picking up another pitcher that's going to help us out. And he did a great job. But, you know, overall, you know, Salem Hills didn't come down and hit us like they probably wanted to. And they were a little upset about that. But that's the game of baseball, too. And, you know, I thought we did a really good job of just playing and doing what we do. And we came out with a win. So I was pleased.
You've talked all year about how deep your guys' pitching can really roll. And then yesterday against Emory, we just see two pitchers. And I think this is one of the things that I admire most about this team, Coach. Play 3 games in 3 days. You can essentially throw 6 different kids in 3 games in 3 days.
Yeah,
it's impressive.
Yeah, I wanted to get Cody Lowe and Triton Abeda both some time yesterday just because it was our 3rd game of the week, but they hadn't even gotten a chance to throw. And, you know, Cody got 2 innings and Triton got 3 yesterday. So when you look at it, I mean, 3 full games during a week, and my really number 2, number 3, or number 4 guys only got to throw 2 or 3 innings the entire week. So it just tells you kind of how deep we are in those positions, and it's really nice. I mean, you know, Zach kind of stands out a little bit as being a pitcher. He's able to locate and do some things. But Cody Triton, you know, Nate Olson, Adrian Sanchez, and, you know, we throw Jaden Robertson in that mix. Those guys can all come in. They can all throw. I call them more throwers than I do pitchers because they don't locate as well. But, man, when they can just come in and pound the strike zone, they throw hard enough and they, you know, they have good enough stuff that they can pitch with anybody. So, you know, we get in trouble a little bit when they lose their control and we have some walks. And yesterday I thought Cody started off rough. I mean, obviously we hit the first guy of the game and he was struggling to find the strike zone. And, you know, I think he settled in just about the time I pulled him out. That last 2 outs of the 2nd inning, he looked like he'd really settled in and found the strike zone. And I just wanted to get Triton an opportunity to pitch. And, you know, he comes in and walks a guy in the 1st inning he pitches, too. And if you know me at all, and most coaches, walks just drive us nuts. You know, just throw the ball to the plate. Let your defense play some defense for you. But I hate walks. Obviously, Salem Hills probably hates them even more. I mean, that's how they lost to us in extra innings. You know, they had 3 walks in that inning, I think. And, you know, walks just end up biting you in the rear end, and I hate him as a coach. And if our guys will just control the strike zone and not walk, we're going to be awful tough to beat.
Again, right now being joined by Jeff Cincinnatus, manager of the Carbondino baseball squad. Coach, you guys will take the rest of the week off. Busy next week because we get Delta on Tuesday. Got to play Providence Hall on Wednesday and then you get Delta again on Friday. But from this point on, outside of that regular season finale against Desert Hills, I mean, it's a stretch of region games now.
Yeah, we're in the heart of region play. You know, we're making up a game with Providence Hall that we missed last week because of rain. So that does put us with three games this week. But, you know, for the last some years, we've been playing three games a week in our region anyway, so it's really not nothing new for us. I mean, we're okay with that. Like you said, Delta is a new team in our region this year, so it's always a travel to go play them. But we'll have them at home on Tuesday, then travel up and play Providence, then travel to Delta. So a busy week, like you said, and you know the rest of the season is jam packed with a bunch of region games. And you know, we want to finish number one in our region. I mean, that's our goal. It's been our goal since day one to be region champs. And, you know, GWAB and Union right now are both playing really well. They're both ranked ahead of us, as a matter of fact. If you look at the Desert News rankings, we dropped out of the top five, which I don't put a lot of, you know, a lot of emphasis on. I mean, our preseason schedule has been a lot tougher than anybody else in 3A, and I don't have a problem saying that to anyone. If you look at who we've played in the preseason so far, it's been a tougher preseason than anyone. So, you know, our record's not real glamorous when you look at it. I think we're 8-5 now on the year, and some of those other teams are, you know, 8-2 or 7-1 or whatever. But I look at our body of work against who we're playing, and I think my squad is where it needs to be, and it's definitely going to help us move on. But, you know, GWAB and Union are both good teams. I'm not taking anything away of how good of teams they are. They're going to be really, really good teams, and they're going to be tough to beat. You know, but I feel like we're getting ourselves there where we're going to be ready for them when the end of the year rolls around.
I think it's looking at it, and I don't know too much about Region 13, but it appears to me that Region 14 is definitely the best region front to back in the state.
I believe so. Region 13 is probably the weakest when I look at it. Grantsville is going to want run away with that region, hands down. I don't see anybody, maybe Judge Memorial, giving them a game in that region. You know, Judge is not too bad. They're a good team. We have already seen and played them and beat them down in St. George. But they're going to be a quality team. Then you go to Region 15, where South Sevier and Grand are probably going to pound on each other for the region title in that region, and both really good teams there too. But I think top to bottom, you look at us Union and GWAB, we've got three quality teams in our region, and you're going to see all three of those teams advance in the state tournament and go pretty deep, I think, when it all is said and done.
We're past the midway point in the regular season, and I think, Coach, realistically speaking, at any sport, I mean, you're going to see some rapid improvement, maybe the most improvement over the final month of the season from teams, but at the same time, you can look at what's a realistic possibility for squads. This team realistically has a chance to win a state championship. I mean, you can say that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have goals at the beginning of the year. I think every team puts a goal out there, and obviously a goal is to win a state title. Sometimes those goals need to be realistic. You know, in years past, you know, we say we want to win a state title, and we do. But you're kind of thinking, you know, I don't know if we quite have what it takes to do that. I mean, but this year, our goal of a state title is something that realistically, it's obtainable for us. And, you know, I think we're going to be really disappointed if we don't reach that goal because we have that capability. Again, you know, baseball is a funny game. I mean, when anytime you deal with high school sports or anything, I mean, you have opportunities where things aren't going to go your way. And you know, you got to have a little luck. You got to have the ball bounce your way. I mean, no one's just going to give us a state title, but I think we have the guys that are capable of getting there. And it's my job to just keep pushing them every day and get them better. And hopefully when the time comes, we're ready to play for that state title and have an opportunity to win it.
Spring break, you give the kids the next few days off?
Yeah, they're done until Monday. We'll come back and practice Monday. It's always hard. You know, it's a long weekend. I mean, my biggest fear is, especially living in this area, as we go down on the desert, we get on our side-by-sides and four-wheelers, and you just don't want anybody to get hurt. And you know what? We've got a good thing going. We're playing well. You want the kids to come back healthy. And you know, just keep the momentum going and moving forward. I thought we took a step back Monday, but we come back and move forward on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we got to take, you know, three more steps forward next week with our three games next week. So, you know, they need some time off. as do I, but at the same time, we need to continue working hard and getting, you know, getting better. So I'm excited when Monday rolls back around, but I hope they enjoy the next few days off and that everybody has a safe and happy Easter.
Coach, I appreciate you stopping by. Congratulations on a good week of baseball, and best of luck next week. I know we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino Baseball Squad. We've got a break for just a moment. We have more Diamond Talk coming up. We're going to move over to Emory and talk softball. Coach Sean Bell is going to join us right after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back for more Drive Time Sports, more Coach's Corner. We have not talked a lot of softball on Drive Time Sports yet, but I'll tell you, it has been a fun season for both Carbon and Emory. The Lady Dinos are in contention for a Region 14 championship, and the Emory Lady Spartans, they've been up and down, up and down. They're preparing for spring break next week. They do have a big game tomorrow, taking on the San Juan Broncos, an opportunity to get revenge on a loss from earlier this week. Joining us right now to talk about how the season has gone up to this point for the Lady Spartans, we have Coach Sean Bell right now over the phone. Coach, good to hear from you again. Great to get you back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Absolutely, Coach. You and I were talking off of the cuff, and I asked you how the season was going up to this point, and you said it's a roller coaster ride. I mean, there are some weeks you guys go out, some games, I should say, you guys go out, and it looks like you can score with the best of them, and then we have games like against South Sevier where they shut us out 10-0. So it has been a season of up and downs up to this point.
Yeah, we go down to South Sevier, and they don't hit the ball very well, and they come here, and we score 22 runs and hit 5 home runs. It's kind of amazing this. What girls show up and which ones don't.
I know it's a million-dollar question to kind of, you know, decipher what's going wrong. I mean, what's the difference between playing at home and on the road? But have you noticed a big difference this season between the two locations? I mean, playing at home and playing on the road?
You know, I haven't really noticed that until the last couple of games, because we went to St. George and we did really well in St. George. It's just, I don't know for sure.
As far as the team and the makeup of this year's team, Coach, you guys do have some seniors on this year's squad. I think you told me you guys have 5 seniors on this squad altogether. But you do have some underclassmen that have picked up some solid varsity experience in the past as well. So what is the makeup of the team like this year?
Yeah, we have 5 seniors that are doing me a really good job. We have some juniors that have stepped up really good. Our third baseman got hurt, Jayla Weston. And Reagan Rasmussen stepped in and filled the role pretty well. Our right fielder, Megan Dawes, is doing an outstanding job for us in right field. And our center fielder is a junior also, and she's doing a very good job for us also. And our first baseman, Adrie Childs, is doing a great job. And our pitcher, Bailey Hugger, of course, is doing an outstanding job also.
And again, when we talk softball, I mean, there is no pitch count limit like there is in baseball. So, I mean, Bailey can go out, she can throw every inning of every game, right?
Yeah, Bailey's a workhorse for us. I wish she could get in and get her arm a little better condition before basketball's over, but, you know, she's a big role in basketball, so she doesn't get a lot of time to work her arm before basketball's done. So, but she does a great job for us.
Coach, if we look at the way the team has performed in division play up to this point in time, I mean, we had a contest against Grand, 17-15. We got to go all the way back to the beginning of March or the middle of March for that contest. And then we talked about the 22-12 win over South Sevier, 10-0 loss to South Sevier, 16-0 loss to San Juan. I mean, I guess that's just an example of how the season has kind of been all over the place. What do you make of the division, the region up to this point?
You know, our region is very tough. I think our region is probably the toughest region we have. We still got to face Manti, that's a really good team. And North Stampede, I think, is probably one of the top ones in 3A. South Sevier is a really good team, and Grand, I just think they're all, every one of us are pretty, it's a pretty well even matched game. It's not like basketball where you have 2 really good teams and the other ones are not as good.
Yeah, it looks like the parity in this region is going to be something to keep an eye on. I mean, Richfield sitting at 0-3, and Grand hasn't won a region game yet. But, I mean, outside of that, in the middle of the pack, I mean, Manti's got 2 wins. Emory has 2 wins. South Sevier has 2 wins. North St. Pete is still at the top of the division at 4-0, Coach. They seem like the front runner to you. Is that the team to beat?
Yeah, we went over there and played them last year. It was a pretty good contest for the first 4 or 5 innings. But they have a lot of returning seniors, so I think they're the team to beat.
As far as some of the other regions go, do you pay attention to that? I mean, talking region 13 and 14, is that something you kind of try to just stay away from until a little bit later on in the year?
You know, I try not to look at it too much and look ahead, but I have been kind of watching just to see how it's playing off. And I think Carbon's going to be really tough. They're always really tough. And, you know, the northern regions, I don't really look at them too much yet.
Kind of the same way. I mean, I pay attention to Region 14, pay attention to Region 15, but I mean, as far as Morgan, Grantsville, Summit Academy, South Summit, and Judge Memorial goes, I mean, it's a little bit of a different feel. Region 14 kind of has the same vibe as well. I know there's a couple of teams that have yet to pick up a win in that division, but at the same time, there's three or four teams that'll be competing for that top spot. So I see a lot of similarities, Coach, between 14 and 15.
Yeah, we did get a look at Grantsville. We played, or Morgan, we played them in St. George. We beat them. They're a good team. We come out with our bats and really got onto them quick and had some great plays. Grantsville, I think they're the returning champs, so they're going to be really tough also.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Sean Bell of the Emory Lady Spartan Softball Squad. Coach, you guys will return to the field tomorrow to take on San Juan. A lot of emphasis on this game considering what happened the last time out. I know the saying is you got to win your home games, right? Still a couple on the road, and you're going to be just fine. What were some of the things that stand out to you from that first meeting with San Juan?
We did hit the ball. We just hit it right at him. So we had some really good hard hits. We just couldn't find the holes. I think we'll see a whole different team. Our defense kind of struggled a little bit down there. I think we're going to see a whole different team. We've had a pretty good week to practice this week, and I think we've worked out some issues, and I think we'll be right, ready to play on Friday.
And when you play a game like that and you got a long trip home, time for reflection isn't always the best. How have the girls looked since that outing?
You know, they come back and I think they refocused. I kind of think they just overlooked this team, and I think they realize that now, so I think we'll be ready.
Coach, now I guess we've hit the midpoint, right? I mean, that's fair to say as we get to the end of March. I mean, there's basically a month left in the season, so I guess we're a little bit past the midpoint. Is this team where you thought they would be at this stage in the season, or maybe a little bit behind, maybe a little bit ahead? How do you assess where the team is at right now?
You know, hitting-wise, I think we're way above where I thought we would be. Fielding-wise, we're a little bit behind. I'm hoping that our fielding, we're continually having 4 to 6 errors a game, and we got to do away with that. But hitting wise, I don't know that there's a team that can hit any better than we can.
As far as the remainder of the schedule goes, I talked about San Juan this week. I know it is spring break for the kids, but it doesn't really apply, right? I mean, to where you guys are sitting, or is it spring break next week for Emory County?
Next week for us.
Yeah, next week for you guys. And so, I mean, is that something you have to manage as a coach, kids checking out, or is it something that's kind of irrelevant to this team?
Sometimes I think it is. I think sometimes we check out, but after getting beat like we did, I think the kids are really hungry for this next game, and they really want the win.
Yeah, it can help you refocus quick, can it?
Yes, it does.
Coach, from this point on, I mean, what are some of the things that this team needs to work out? I mean, you mentioned about the hitting. I know there comes a time in the season where either you know it or you don't know it, but what is kind of the main emphasis for you as a manager from this point on?
You know, I think our big emphasis is right now is our team just playing as a team and not being the roller coaster ride. We get up to bat and we have a couple girls that get really good hits and our team's on the high and we ride that high. And then at some point we just kind of let it go down again. And we're really focusing on staying on top the whole time, playing a full 7 innings.
Team camaraderie good this year?
What's that?
Is the camaraderie on the team good this year?
It is. It's a lot better than it has been in the past. I think the girls really get along very well.
It's always a positive, right? Especially when you're this late in the season.
Yeah, and we have some really good seniors that have really stepped up and played a really good senior role.
You know, that's something you and I haven't really been able to talk about over the last couple of years, Coach, because you haven't had large amounts of seniors on this team. You've had a couple, but five is more, I think, than I think that's the most you've had in the last, what, 2 or 3 years, isn't it?
Yeah, with for sure. I think we've been 3 years now since we've had any seniors. So yeah, we've had a couple here and there, but 5 is a really good number for us.
Right. I think the last time you guys had a number of seniors was Ashton's senior year, which was a while ago.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Coach, it's great to get you back on. It's great to hear a little bit about the softball team. I really appreciate the time, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Hey, it's always good hearing from you, Jordan. Thanks.
My pleasure. Again, that's Coach Sean Bell of the Emory Lady Spartans. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back, move over to the national scene. Travis, it's opening day in Major League Baseball. It's been a beautiful day.
It's been fun. A lot of baseball on, a lot of good times. I know a lot of people like the fantasy baseball, you and I, so it's a great time.
First at-bat of the year. Whack. Ian Happ goes deep.
Ian Happ takes that pitiful Marlins team deep. That's a bad team.
It's not.
It's the worst team I've ever that we're going to see in a long time.
It was 4-4 at one particular time. We'll talk more baseball in just a few moments when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Travis, I want to talk Major League Baseball, of course. Change of pace is now in full effect as far as Major League Baseball goes. Change of pace rules have been implemented.
Got 6 mound visits.
Today I'm watching the Cubs and the Marlins, but the Marlins could have used a couple of more mound visits early on in that contest. For younger pitching, I didn't realize how much of a difference this was going to make for teams with a younger pitching staff. It's going to make a big difference.
It's going
to make a huge difference.
If you got young guys on the mound that, you know, it's their first time pitching, you can go out there, settle them down a little bit, but now you can't, because if you go out there once and waste one, you're down to 5, and you got to be cautious, and you got to save those mound visits.
You like it?
I don't. Baseball is a game of strategy. It's thinking. It's getting people in the right places. I just don't like the fact that you're going to limit to 6.
To me, it's all based for TV, because I've never heard anyone say that they went to a baseball game and they were bored.
No.
I've never heard anyone say that. Now, maybe you go to a baseball game and you have a couple of more casual conversations, and maybe your attention strays away from a game if you're a casual or lighthearted fan. I get that. But I've never heard anyone say that they were bored. It's got to be for TV. It has to be for TV.
For TV, exactly what it is. It's trying to speed that portion up on the TV, and it's not being live, because you don't even notice it when you're live.
You really don't.
You don't. When you're there sitting live, you don't notice the mound visits.
No, you don't. Now, a poll surveyed 2,200 U.S. adults from March 15th to March 17th. This is according to morningconsult.com, and they found out that 53% of respondents aged 65 and older said that they were very or somewhat likely to watch a baseball game this season, while 43% of 18 to 29-year-olds expressed similar interest. The poll has a margin of error, plus or minus 2 percentage points. So a 2017 study said that the median age of a Major League Baseball viewer, it's increasing. In 2006, it noted that the median average age was about 52 years old. Is baseball an old man's game? I guess that's the question I'm trying to get. And does the change of pace improve its quality for at least a younger fan base?
I think it's for an older age group, yes.
Is it?
I don't think the change of pace affects it either way.
Look, I'm a boxing guy. I'm a horse racing guy as well. And a lot of the reason why is because I love sports broadcasting. I love radio in general. And those are the two pastimes. Boxing and horse racing, along with baseball, those were your three sports on radio when sports broadcasting really started picking up. So I get it. It is from an older demographic. I know a lot of young guys that watch baseball too, though. I know a lot of young guys that do.
Baseball, Rob Manfred has an obsession with this pace of play for some reason. And he's came in and he's changed it up a little bit. I don't agree with some of the things that he's done.
Today, as I'm watching a game on TV, I didn't really notice. The only time I noticed, again, you're going to run into some problems early in this contest. And I'm thinking, boy, a mound visit would go a long way right now. You know Don Mattingly would love to walk out there and have a conversation with his young pitcher. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You only have 6 per game.
Yeah.
So on TV, I didn't necessarily notice the lack of mound visits. And I don't know. And again, I didn't keep tabs on this. I didn't think the game lasted any longer or any shorter than any other Major League Baseball game I had watched.
That seems normal to me.
It did.
A normal played baseball game in March, April.
That's what it seemed like to me. I could be wrong on it. What's the most interesting series of the week?
I think it's more the Yankees-Blue Jays with Giancarlo Stanton. I also like Dodgers-Giants because of the rival.
Not buying into the Brewers-Padres. You don't like that series?
I do, but it's just I like the big names. I like those teams more so than the Padres and the Brewers.
All right. Well, we talked about George Springer going yard earlier today. He set a World Series record with 8 extra base hits and 29 total bases in Houston's Game 7 victory over the Dodgers in total throughout that series. Drove the third pitch from Cole Hamels over the right field fence, gave the Astros a 1-0 lead in the season opener. Now, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, it was the first leadoff home run for a defending World Series champion ever. And Springer is also the only player ever to hit a leadoff home run on opening day in consecutive years. I didn't realize all that.
No, an incredible baseball player and really carried the Astros last year to that World Series championship.
He did.
He was the main focus last year and the reason why they won. It was because of him.
It was. All the talk about Altuve, who was great in the regular season, don't get me wrong, but in the World Series, it was George Springer who really propelled that team. Last year, he took Felix Hernandez yard in the first inning. The Astros won the season opener 3-0. That was at Minute Maid Park. Worked on a 2-0 count on Hamels, hit a 90-mile-an-hour two-seam fastball the opposite way over the wall for his 100th career home run. How much longer does this guy bat leadoff? You keep him leadoff?
I think for now you do, but eventually you're going to have to move him down the lineup.
I think you're going to have to, right?
It just makes more sense to move him down the lineup, but right now it works for the Astros. The Astros lineup from 1 through 9, it's good, and that's why that team has a chance to repeat.
We're out of time. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'd love to sit and talk more baseball. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Casual Friday once again here on Drive Time Sports.
Coach, NHL talk tomorrow.
NHL talk? Yeah, I don't know about that. Come on.
Some boxing?
I'll throw some NHL talk your way. I'm going to let you educate me a little bit on NHL. How's that?
Playoff race is heating up.
That'll be tomorrow on Drive Time Sports. It'll be Casual Friday. Enjoy opening day. We will catch you tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.